When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Time now for the GX on Agriculture podcast, brought to you by Trustmark Insurance in Melville. Trust us with what matters most.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, the weekly Saskatchewan Crop Report is out. We'll hear from Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers about how crop development is coming along in the province. Also on today's program, livestock producers are welcoming a Health Canada decision to back away from a saturated fat warning label on ground beef and pork. We'll hear from the president of the Canadian Cattlemen's Association, Reg Schellenberg. Also, the Saskatchewan government has announced grants of $530,000 to 13 short-line railways across the province. We'll have reaction to that news from the vice president of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture, Todd Lewis. All of those stories, as well as the Yorkton 4-H Regional Show and Sale coming up next week on the Yorkton Exhibition Grounds, we'll speak with one of the organizers of the event. So all of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Crop development in Saskatchewan has been slow due to early season drought conditions in the west and excess moisture in the east. Saskatchewan Agriculture Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers notes there was a general rain for much of the province over the past week.
You know, many parts of the province received rainfall this last week. It was very good to see. The southwest and kind of straight south of Moose Jaw did miss out on a lot of that rain, but everywhere else in the province got at least a little something. So some very high, and I don't have to tell you this being in Yorkton, but some pretty high volumes of rain came down in the Yorkton area and just south of Yorkton that certainly did result in some flooding over there. So it's unfortunate to see that happen, of course, already with a difficult season over there with moisture, but hopefully those crops aren't totally drowned out and they're able to recover.
So how is crop development coming along?
It's a bit slow. We all know that that in the west it's been delayed due to the drought conditions, and now finally they're getting some moisture, and hopefully that crop's able to bounce back quickly. Whereas in the east, of course, the delay there was in the excess moisture and just the late seeding date. So both of those are hopefully going to improve. But the nice thing that we're seeing right now is that crop conditions are still being rated between fair to good. So that's very promising. And, you know, across the province, 76% of fall cereals, 58% of spring cereals, 46% of oilseed crops, and 69% of pulse crops are at their normal stages of development. So those numbers are, you know, just hovering around about 60%, and oilseeds are being at the lowest there with 46. So hopefully the conditions improve a little bit and those oilseed crops can, advance their growth quite quickly.
What are topsoil moisture conditions like across the province?
They dip slightly this week. Not surprised, just the southwest is very dry, and it's likely representing that in the numbers here. But for cropland, it's rated as 9% surplus, 67% adequate, 20% short, and 4% very short. Hay and pasture is rated as 8% surplus, 66% adequate, 29% short, and 7% very short. So certainly a lot of areas still in the province that could go for another shot of rain.
Are haying operations underway just yet?
Yeah, in the past week, not much haying progress had been made. Due to that rain coming through much of the province, it stopped a lot of guys from their operations. But they probably weren't too upset about it, just to give that hay crop a shot of rain before they start cutting. But we're predicting, this week and next week to get a full swing of haying operations throughout the province. And the crop in the west is looking a little, below average for yield. It's just so dry over there that they didn't get the growth that they wanted. In the east, the crop does look better in the areas that aren't excessively wet. So hopefully everyone's able to pull off a decent hay crop this year.
How would you rate hay quality?
Right now, hay quality is rated as 20% excellent, 52% good, 26% fair, and 2% poor. So that's very promising to see. Most of it is landing between excellent and fair. So hopefully, some of that's in the west, where certainly the lower numbers will be.
Was there much crop damage reported over the past week?
Besides the usual culprits, the biggest ones this week were flooding, of course, where that high volume of rainfall came down, and then also hail, that accompanied a lot of those storms that passed through the province this past week. There's quite a bit of hail damage in various places across the province, and so we're hoping that damage wasn't too severe and that those crops were able to bounce back, and the amount of acres that were wiped out were minimal.
Are gophers an issue again this year?
They are, and their problem is increasing across not only RMs but also across regions. Their population is just kind of spiked again, just like it did last year, and especially in areas that are drier. So producers are trying their best to keep them under control with a various array of options that they have available to them. So hopefully not too much crop is destroyed by the furry rodents.
And what are producers up to this week?
They're still spraying, a lot of in-crop weed spraying still going on in some areas that the crop canopy hasn't closed yet, as well as insect pests, grasshoppers and such. And then also the first fungicide applications have been applied across the province to get crop disease under control before it takes a real foothold. So producers are working very hard to get ahead of those things, and hopefully they're making some progress.
Matt Struthers is a crops extension specialist with the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture, based in Moose Jaw.
GX94, AgriView.
Canada will require that companies add nutrition warnings to the front of prepackaged food with high levels of saturated fat, sugar, or sodium in an effort to help grocery shoppers make healthier choices with just a glance. But ground meat, like beef and pork, will be exempt from the labels after ranchers' groups objected to Health Canada's proposal earlier this month. The government says the labels are meant to help Canadians eat healthier, as the so-called nutrients of public health concern have been linked to conditions such as cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes. Health Canada says the new labels will complement rather than replace the more detailed nutrition information that's typically on the back of food packaging. New federal regulations to force down the greenhouse gas emissions from gasoline and diesel will cost Canadians up to 13 cents more per liter at the pump by 2030. An impact analysis of the clean fuel regulations published yesterday estimates they will cut about 18 million metric tons of greenhouse gas emissions in 2030, or 5 to 6% of what Canada needs to eliminate to meet its current targets for that year. The impact will shave $9 billion off of Canada's GDP and hike gasoline prices between 6 and 13 cents a liter in 2030, when the full scope of the regulations is in effect. That could cost between $76 and $174 per vehicle, or up to $301 per household. The analysis says there will be a disproportionate cost impact on lower-income families, single mothers, and seniors, who are more vulnerable to fluctuations in energy costs and are the least likely to be able to afford alternatives like electric vehicles. Saskatchewan's Water Security Agency is providing new funding for channel clearing as well as maintenance for constructed agricultural drainage projects. Up to $1 million is available in 2022-23 for local governments to apply, including rural municipalities, conservation and development area authorities, and watershed associations. The Water Security Agency has expanded eligibility to include maintenance for constructed drainage projects. Previously, only natural water courses qualified for funding. Assistance will be provided as a rebate of up to 50% of the eligible costs for activities carried out during the 2022-23 program year. Activities can include removing silt, beaver dams, and debris, such as trees, brush, and deadfall, to lessen the possibilities of blockages that can cause flooding to roadways and agricultural land. The deadline to apply for the rebate is January 31, 2023. An audit of two range agreements for grazing cattle and one hay-cutting agreement in the Quesnel area of British Columbia has found ranchers allowed the animals to cause damage to a fish stream and cut trees without authorization. The Forest Practices Board detailed the audit results in two separate reports. Board Chair Kevin Kreese says extensive damage to Nua Creek was caused by heavy cattle use adjacent to the stream, which has been ongoing for many years without enforcement action by the government. The independent watchdog for sound forest and range practices is recommending the range agreement holder improve practices this season and work with the Ministry of Forests to restore the creek. The board also raises concerns about the ministry allowing grazing without a plan and a lack of enforcement of this requirement for an area located about 30 kilometers south of Quesnel. McCain Foods has purchased predictive crop intelligence technology from Resson, a vision intelligence technology firm headquartered in Fredericton, New Brunswick. McCain has been a longtime partner with Resson, working together for 9 years to develop algorithms that forecast farm yields using remote sensing technology. The technology will enable producers to make more appropriate decisions through field data imagery. According to McCain, both high and low altitude imagery will be provided that will target key metrics that will help producers improve crop development and yield. McCain's inclination to use more innovative technology comes as no surprise, as they experiment with various technologies at their Farms of the Future site in Florenceville, New Brunswick, where they are working on regenerative farming practices. And that's the AgriView portion of our program. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will be back in 1 minute's time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Faulkner. There's some light rain in the Yorkton-Melville region and 17 degrees. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Livestock producers are welcoming a Health Canada decision to back away from a saturated fat warning label on ground beef and pork. The president of the Canadian Cattlemen's Association, Reg Schellenberg of Beechey, Saskatchewan, applauds the decision. He says an online petition against the labeling had almost 10,000 signatures.
We're very pleased that the Government of Canada listened to the concerns from both farmers, ranchers, as well as Canadians across the country and exempt ground beef and pork from Health Canada's proposed front-of-package regulations. Now, this is a huge step forward. We're grateful for their understanding and thankful that we were able to put this to defeat this proposed implementation.
So what does this mean to producers?
Well, the economic impact, had this gone through, Canadians purchase 50% of the beef in Canada is ground beef that the Canadians purchase. And hamburger is a protein of choice for most households in Canada. So it's essential that we had this exemption put into place. The confusing part was ground beef is a single ingredient meat. It's only processed through the grind. It consists of roasts, different cuts. It doesn't have any other ingredients. And so we're hoping that Health Canada will be able to differentiate between our single ingredient whole foods and establish labeling policies that focus on highly processed foods.
What was the big concern if this had been imposed on ground beef and pork?
Well, definitely the economic impact would be huge for producers as well as consumers. I mean, the product of choice, the availability, and impact with trading partners. definitely, any time you have a warning label on a product, there's much less interest from our customers to buy.
So this warning would have been about the saturated fat level of ground beef and ground pork?
Yes, it was. And so we do recognize Health Canada has shown their ability to listen to Canadians' concerns and make changes based on the feedback. Our Don't Label My Beef campaign was a huge success, and it was successful because every sector in the industry, including our consumers, participated in voicing their concerns to the impact this labeling would have. And we thank each and every one that supported us. The momentum gained across the country, which was really, really neat to see. It was fantastic.
And how are pastures and crops in your area right now?
The drought still continues in some spot areas. Definitely in my home area here, rain showers are very spotty, hit and miss. But there are significant portions of the Southwest that have received good, timely rainfall. We're really, really thankful to see them getting it. Definitely, there's other locations in the Southwest, West Central that are still extremely dry, and producers are very concerned for their crops.
Red Schellenberg farms at Beechey, Saskatchewan. He's the president of the Canadian Cattlemen's Association. It's time now for the livestock market conditions and their presentation of Heartland Livestock in Yorkton.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for August closed at 132.57 today. That's up 40. October live cattle closed at 138.77, down 12. August feeder cattle closed at 173.60, up 287. September feeder cattle closed at 176.22, up 245. August lean hogs closed at 102.10, down 147. October lean hogs closed at 88.67, down 205. And that's the livestock market conditions.
Honey, are you okay?
I'm okay.
Honey, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. We better call Trustmark.
Trustmark Insurance in Melville will help you be ready for whatever life throws your way. When insuring your life and livelihood, trust Trustmark Insurance with what matters most.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. As you may have heard on yesterday's program, the Saskatchewan government has announced grants of $530,000 to 13 short-line railways across the province. The funding assists with track upgrades and expansion, improved crossing surfaces, bridge maintenance, track rehabilitations, and more. The province provides up to 50% of eligible project costs. The funding goes to all 13 short lines operating on over 2,100 kilometers of track. The funding ranges from $25,000 to $129,000, depending on the amount of track owned by the short line. The vice president of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture, Todd Lewis, says the funding is important for the farming community.
It's good news for the short line operators, and they're very efficient spenders. They'll stretch that $530,000 a long way over literally miles of track, and it's important infrastructure that's being maintained, and really for the general public, it's important to remember that every carload that goes up and down a short line railroad is either grain or other products. There's oil goes up and down some of those lines as well that doesn't go on our highway system and saves wear and tear on the highway. So it's good news, and the short lines are kind of an overlooked part of our infrastructure package that a lot of operators have struggled for years to try and keep them maintained and keep them in running shape. And this money is certainly welcome.
What's the key benefit for farmers?
Well, again, it's just the most efficient way to move grain is on rail, steel on steel, as opposed to, rubber on pavement. But with the increasing, transportation costs, diesel costs, all those inputs, the more grain we can see moved through short lines is a cheaper way of and a more efficient way to transport that grain. And, And many points, the drop-off point on the short line is a shorter haul than it would be to a grain terminal, you know, at a point further away. So it's important, and it's parts of the province. It's a very important part of the infrastructure, and farmers have been using them and will continue to. And this money is money very well spent and invested in something that really is necessary and should be continued to be maintained.
On another topic, Ottawa has expanded its cash advance program from $100,000 to $250,000. How does that help farmers?
Well, it's interest costs are being saved, of course. The $250,000 is welcome, the saved interest. Not all farmers use the program. Not all farmers use that program to its full extent. They pay those loans off as their produce, you know, as their product is hauled in, be it grains or, you know, canola or durum and so on, as it's delivered to the elevator, it's paid off. So it's a help. It certainly doesn't go a long way toward some of the input costs that have been, we've seen increase this year, diesel fuel, fertilizer, of course, and all the, you know, chemicals and so on that farmers use, you know, for cattle producers with a lot of the drought problems we're seeing on the west side of the province. It's a difficult situation, and this is something that will help, but this is in the, you know, in the thousands of dollars, and every little bit helps, but it's something that is welcome, but not all farmers are going to benefit from it, and for those that do, they will appreciate it.
Ottawa is also having an online consultation process on the National Farm Labor Strategy. Do you have any suggestions or proposals for that?
Well, I think, you know, in this province, the Foreign Workers Program is being used more and more. You know, it's a partnership, you know, immigration, those kind of things, is also provincial jurisdiction. So I think, you know, cooperation between the provinces and federal government is important. The federal government really, you know, made a lot of moves during COVID to ensure that temporary foreign workers and foreign workers are allowed in the country. There's always wrinkles over those programs. And so I think the people that use those programs and want to utilize it, they have some ideas in the consultation process. You know, hopefully the government will listen to some of the things coming out of agriculture and some of the ideas around it. And I mean, another big part of it is the agri-food industry, processors and so on. They have trouble, you know, attracting labor and maintaining it as well. So it's a big problem. It's really across all sectors in our economy right now. So hopefully, you know, there'll be some ideas come forward that will help, you know, help resolve a very complicated and at times frustrating situation.
Todd Lewis farms at Gray, Saskatchewan, and is vice president of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture. Coming up, he will discuss farm labor shortages in Saskatchewan right after these messages.
Canada.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada is holding an online consultation process on a national farm labor strategy. The consultation is open from now until September 28th. Some focus ideas include targeted skills and training, employment incentives, working conditions, and use of automation. The Vice President of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture, Todd Lewis, says farm labor issues are complicated. He was asked if farm labor is a big issue in Saskatchewan.
I guess overall, you would say no, but boy, if you're short labor, it's a very big issue. So, you know, we see an aging population here, and it's hard to attract urban people into agriculture. So there may be some ideas around about, you know, how we can have training programs and so on that, you know, recognize, you know, these can be good jobs. The days of somebody just coming out and maybe run a tractor a little bit in the spring and a combine in the fall. Those combines and tractors and other farm equipment are more and more technical, and you just don't jump on them and run them. There's training involved, it's important that, you know, I think producers want to hire good people, will pay to hire good people, but maintaining them in your operation is always a difficult prospect. But at the same time, I think we need to be able to track labor. We're going to have to compete with other industries, so it's, as I say, it's far from a simple problem, and just ongoing more and more. As farms get larger and so on, more labor is required, and so it's always an issue, and unfortunately it's probably something we're going to see more of as labor shortages in agriculture. So anything we can do to remedy that before it becomes a problem is good planning on the industry's part.
Now, Todd, you farm southeast of Regina near Gray. How are your crops doing right now?
Well, everything's late. You know, I think we're just nicely, we should finish our in-crop spraying today, and we've been doing it between showers, and we've had lots of rain, and, you know, we're topped right up now in this area. Boy, you didn't have to go very far east. We saw, you know, 5-6 inches of rain in the Louvain area, and, you know, all the way down to Weyburn and so on. So a lot of flooding down there. Some of our own land in the Wascana Basin was flooded. That rain came back up the Wascana Creek, and then there's localized flooding here in the Arm of the Jord quite a bit along the Wascana Creek. And so there was, you know, there's issues trying to get the water through Regina and those kind of things. So, you know, I think as we go forward, we're hoping that some of the waters will recede from the flood there in the Wascana over the next, you know, days and weeks here, and see how much damage is there. It's pretty significant on some of those acres. So it's been a different year, and we're certainly at a point now where the crop's late, and everybody's looking forward to some heat, and keeping their fingers crossed for that first frosty day, that it's well into September, even October, before we see frost this year, because that's going to be a real determining factor for the crop quality and quantity this year, you know, in a lot of southern Saskatchewan for sure. And really, I took a drive up to Prince Albert for an APAS meeting up on Sunday and Monday this week, and up number 2 highway all the way up, you know, straight up to Prince Albert. There's good crops in a lot of areas north of number 11 highway, but I would say generally they're late, and, you know, the APAS meeting, certainly lots of concerns on the west side of the province about dry conditions and, of course, overly wet conditions on the east side. So it's a real mixed bag.
Todd Lewis farms southeast of Regina at Gray, and he is vice president of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture.
Commodities update.
Canola futures closed down across the board today. November canola closed at $878.50, down $13.60. January canola closed at $886.50. Down $12.80. September Minneapolis wheat closed at $9.90 per bushel, down 38.5 cents. September Kansas City wheat closed at $9.51¾, down 39.5 cents. September Chicago wheat closed at $8.84 per bushel, down 46 cents. September corn closed at $6.28¾, down 35¼ cents. August soybeans closed at $15.60½, down 11 cents. September oats closed at $5.15½, unchanged from yesterday's close. And that's the commodities update. Please stay tuned. GX and Agriculture will return after these messages.
Farm Bulletin Board.
The Yorkton 4-H Regional Show and Sale will be held on the Yorkton Exhibition Grounds next week. Ryan Bender is one of the organizers of the event.
Well, on Monday, July the 4th, the clubs are moving in to get their animals ready. And then on July the 5th, the show starts at 1 p.m. With the judging class, followed by grooming, and then the heifer show that afternoon. And then on July the 6th at 9 a.m., we start with the clover bud class, followed by the steer show and showmanship. And the sale will be on at 5 p.m. That day, and we have 66 steers to sell. So we're hoping for a good crowd of people and sponsors to come to the sale.
How many 4-H members do you expect to attend the event?
There should be 85 members from across the area. We have eight clubs from the area coming. There'll be 125 head total there between steers and females.
Will the clubs attending the show be just from Saskatchewan?
It's split into different regions across the province, and these are kind of the eight clubs from the 60 or 80 mile radius of Yorkton that kind of come to this show.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Just if people can come down and support the kids and watch. They're a great group of kids on that, and watch them in the ring and support them in the sale. It's open to the public, and if anybody has any questions on the on the sale or interested in purchasing an animal for sponsorship or for freezer beef, they can get in touch with me.
Ryan Bender is one of the organizers of the Yorkton 4-H Regional Show and Sale that runs next Tuesday and Wednesday in conjunction with the Yorkton Exhibition Summer Fair. He can be reached at 306-728-8613. And don't forget the Yorkton Crop Plot Tour is coming up on Thursday, July 14th, presented by the East Central Research Foundation and Parkland College. It starts at 9 a.m. that day. In order to RSVP, please text Mike at 306-621-6032, or you can email him. The email is contact@ecrf.ca. That's for the Yorkton Crop Plot Tour coming up Thursday, July 14th at 9 a.m., brought to you by the East Central Research Foundation and Parkland College. It's time now for your agriculture weather, and that's a presentation of Yorkton Ag and Auto Supply.
Auto.ca.
The GX94 Precision Weather Forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Partly sunny with a 30% chance of isolated showers, winds northwest at 15 to 30 and gusting higher at times, a high of 20 degrees. For tonight, clear skies, winds west-northwest at 10 to 20, a low of 8. For tomorrow, sunny, winds north-northeast at 15 to 25 and a high of 19. For Saturday, a 50% chance of spotty showers, winds east-southeast at 15 to 25, and a high of 17. For Sunday, partly sunny, a high of 22, and Monday, partly sunny, a high of 21. In the Paw, it's 15 degrees. Swan River and Brandon are at 18, Dauphin 19, Shoal Lake, Russell and Roblin 17. Regina is reporting in at 20, Saskatoon and Hudson Bay 19, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head 18, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington 16. The Yorkton Melville region now has just a partly cloudy sky, a northwest wind at 22, gusting to 33 kilometers an hour. 53% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 17 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again on Monday at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
You've been listening to the GX on Agriculture podcast, brought to you by Trustmark Insurance in Melville. Trust us with what matters most.